Manchester Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Call Kaya Talk.
Kaya Talk on 086-000-959.
Kaya959.
Yep, you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Any questions, comments, or feedback, share your voice notes on 063-688-0959. We're joined now on the line by a good friend and colleague of mine in the industry, also business journalist with the Daily Maverick, Ray Mahlaka, to help unpack this critical story for us. Ray, such a pleasure to have you and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Gugu. Thanks for having me this evening.
A real delight, Ray. I can imagine last week was quite an intriguing day for yourself and your colleagues, the 15th of April. It was intriguing for myself as well. I'm so used to reading the Daily Maverick newsletter in the morning, quickly logging onto the website and reading a few articles. But last week was slightly different, all in an attempt to raise the flag on this global state of emergency of journalism. Tell us more.
Indeed, I think we have achieved two things. The first was to create awareness about how tough South Africa's media landscape is. And also, it was a teachable moment as well for our audience to teach them how the media industry works and is funded. For those who don't know how media is funded in South Africa and the world, there are two models. First is through advertising revenue. So companies would take out an ad and pay for an ad through various media platforms. And the second route is one in which many media organizations have taken, and that is to charge the public for the content they offer. So you'd see that a lot of media companies are putting up a paywall, so making you pay to be able to access media content. A paywall is a route that we at Daily Maverick are not comfortable in taking. But I think generally what we did last week, Monday, with shutting down the website was to create a debate about how, to create a sustainable media industry, because we know that a thriving and robust media is a central pillar of democracy. Without a vibrant media, democracy suffers and the public also suffers in the process as well.
And I'm glad that you added the context around the paywall, and we'll get to the detail in just a moment. But for many institutions, they've said that that paywall has become so critical to make sure that they are able to pay their journalists. Contextualize the number and the kind of job losses we've seen in the media workforce in the last few years, Ray.
Yeah, we estimate that since the COVID pandemic, the media industry has lost about 70% of jobs.
Sure.
We are talking about experienced journalists who bring institutional knowledge leaving the industry. And that's why you have seen the quality of media suffering in the process as well. We are fortunate at Daily Maverick that we haven't really embarked on retrenchments. In fact, we are growing, but we really want to highlight the plight of our media colleagues. This is not a crisis that is unique to Daily Maverick only, but also print. And also broadcasting has also come under severe pressure. And, while social media has really shaken things up for the media industry, it has democratized access to media. It has amplified the platform for media. I love social media, Gugu. And, but the problem is with, a large number of journalists leaving the industry, it creates the risk of mis- and disinformation thriving. You no longer have those checks and balances in place. Experienced journalists who can fact check something that is circulated widely on social media. So if we continue to let things continue, I think democracy will suffer. We're going to continue to see more journalists leaving the profession. And it's an election year. The stakes are high for fake news and misinformation. And I think, the degree of fact-checking among us as media practitioners becomes much more heightened because we are in that election cycle.
I'm so glad you mentioned this because, again, this is where some institutions or members of the public might not be aware, but media needs a I guess, hand-in-hand relationship with agencies, media agencies, who then use media platforms for advertising, as you alluded to, the revenue generation streams and capacities. And this is where the complexities come about, as there's been a shift in saying, hold on, why choose traditional media when we're actually getting some of this news on social media? And that in itself raises a number of questions and concerns that I believe even colleagues in the newsroom are debating, you know, whether the profile of the journalist is bigger than the institution or media house they work for, or vice versa. Is this also an intricate conversation that does need to take place in the market here?
It is, Google. And also, you know, I will venture us into an area that's very uncomfortable as media practitioners. The public does not trust media and journalists. And we have given, a reason for people not to trust us. And there has been incorrect stories that have been published, damaging reputations in the process. But I think that, a thriving media and a robust media, it really serves the constitutional objective of the right to information, the right to freedom of expression, but with those rights also comes a huge amount and degree of responsibility here. And these are conversations we're having about how media is going to be funded going forward. But you know, I circle back to the paywall model, Gugu. We are very uncomfortable with that model because we believe that you should not be paying to be informed about what's happening around you. Mm. Instead, what we have is a membership model where we leave it to the public to decide how much to donate to us, where people who donate 10 Rand every month, people who donate 20 Rand every month, and that really goes a long way. But we believe that a membership model where you allow people to decide how much to give you is the right approach, instead of having a set fee for people accessing your platform.
An unfair question, but some might ask, is it sustainable, Ray?
Yeah. So for us, it is sustainable because, and I can only reflect on Daily Maverick's experience here.
Sure.
I think leaving it to the public, it's how you build relationships with the public. You build and work on trust with the public. And once you become the trusted source for information, we believe that support will inherently follow. But we do hear the debates about whether, you know, having the membership model versus a paywall model is sustainable or not. But we believe that a membership model for now works for us, and it makes our platform as accessible to the public.
Mm. Ray, we're going to ask that you stay with us on the line because we do want to shift to digging deeper into those business dynamics and sustainable business models for media entities in partnership with business going forward. And Groven Chabiling joins us as the chairperson of the Black Agencies Network Association, known as BANA, essentially, as the name suggests, representing a number of agencies that work very closely. Think of it as the middleman between media houses and entities, whether through print, digital, online, and of course broadcast, and essentially tying them and building a relationship with corporate clients and business, essentially, who then are able to use these platforms to play ads that you might hear on radio, see on TV, read throughout the course of the paper, and even see popping up on your laptop when you're visiting a particular website. Groven, I'm hoping that you're on the line with us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Gugu, the entire listeners, and thank you for inviting us, and good evening to also Ray.
Yes, it's a real delight to touch base with you, and we thought we'd, you know, peel back at this conversation from two perspectives. One, by understanding the complex position that media, traditional media institutions are in, and of course then taking a look at what it means for agencies and companies like yourselves that help media houses run successful business models. You might have heard Ray alluding to a membership fee, which does seem to be the new journey specifically that Daily Maverick is on, not prescribing the cost, the fee that members actually need to pay, but it being voluntary from them, but not denying them any access to important and critical information that they require. Help us unpack, Groven, how you are evaluating how the business model and I guess remuneration structure and earning structure of media entities is shifting and changing, not only in South Africa, but across the globe too.
Yeah, I think it's a very quite interesting to topic, and I like the approach and understand that the Daily Maverick have taken last week in creating that particular awareness, especially in the industry, that how critical it is. We always alluded to the fact that we are saying that content is king, and we mean it. Because from an advertising perspective, what we are drawn towards is the market. It's the people who consume that particular content. So let's just take digital ads, for instance. At a certain stage, 10 years or 15 years ago, the growth of the digital, particularly around the internet, we are looking at about 2%. But now it has grown quite phenomenal. We are looking at about close to about 23 million South Africans who have access to social media. The digital ad spend globally is sitting at about $549 billion. You could imagine, but from a South African spending point of view, from a digital point of view, we are talking about 14 billion rand. That has increased quite phenomenally. I mean, at a certain stage, that when we are talking about traditional medium, that we're looking at from a TV point of view, print, radio, outdoor. I mean, the digital or social media or internet, it was not even scaled at that time. That TV, that particularly here in South Africa, remains a strong advertising medium, but digital it has impacted on how traditional media spend for several years. And then with print, in particular, we have seen, and it's not in South Africa alone, being the mostly heavily impacted. So platforms such as Google Ads, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, yes. Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok have become so popular from advertising channels due to their larger user bases and in terms of advancing targeting capabilities. And we can't shy at them, though they are, you know, internationally dominated this particular mediums, and that's why at Banner sometimes we are advocating that, you know, we need to ensure that the advertising spend stays in South Africa.
Yep.
But, you know, platform like that, yeah.
I was about to actually say, I know that there's been ongoing litigation between some of the local media houses in unison with the search engines, as you've mentioned, Google specifically. But I'm keen to understand, how are you approaching this as an agency and speaking to corporate clients who might want to look at, because the truth is, traditional media companies have now become multimedia companies. Not only do we need written articles, there's video, there's audio, there's podcasts. So there's almost a plethora of information sharing that we have available. But at the same time, some media houses are conflicted in saying, hold on, but people need to pay for this information because of the time, effort and knowledge that goes in behind it. What influence is this playing now on sponsorships, advertising, and even sponsored and paid for content that you as an agency might solicit for a client?
So I mean, all these platforms that I have indicated, I mean, they offer what we call the targeted advertising options, real-time analytical, with a high degree of flexibility in making them attractive to advertisers. So when a media planner or a media buyer is sitting and said, I want to have access to Google, who lives in this particular area, and this is their lifestyle, and then they give you the options where you can able to reach Google, and you'll find that those particular medium platform they come to the top. And I mean, the if you see you'll find that the top four banks and in South Africa will appear because they paid for that when you're looking for a financial institution. So, and second to that is the paid social advertising, which is second category in South Africa. And then we'll see the likes of financial institutions, fast consumer moving goods, alcohol, remain the highest percentage of the companies that spend so much money on social media, and gaming and entertainment industry. So the majority of consumers use these search engines like Google to find products, services, and search engine marketing, which called SAME, has become so crucial part of our advertising strategies because they also give you what we call geolocation.
Yes.
And as a video consumption continues to rise, there's a platform like YouTube and TikTok attract more ad spenders. I mean, if you look at TikTok, to an extent that in the US they want to ban TikTok because it's actually they have no control of it because it's not owned by any US entity.
Yes.
But the number of people who are on TikTok is quite phenomenal, especially in the US, also in South Africa.
Yeah.
So digital platforms are very popular with consumers because one, they are free.
100%. But that's the concern, right? Free information doesn't necessarily mean it's credible information. And in as much as media entities also need to make money, they also need to share and disseminate critical and credible information. The same way that corporate clients and business wants to advertise on credible platforms where their brands won't be misrepresented or misused. So I guess a closing question to the both of you. Grooven, I'll start with you, and Ray, I'll come to you to close off with. But I'm keen to understand, as we now have seen this clear statement that has been made by Daily Maverick, raising awareness, raising concern, which is a global theme, how best should media agencies in a market like South Africa be positioning themselves, not only to be financially sustainable, but also continue to be great employers of people who work so hard at this very important craft of journalism? Grooven?
So if you look at, for instance, the print medium, it was largely subsidized by advertisement. You will go and buy a copy of The Star or Petroleum News. It was not a full, what you call, paid price. It was subsidized by advertising, advertisers, because we wanted to reach those particular consumers. So if you look at Daily Maverick, now because we are talking about it now, with 225,000 subscribers, and the opportunity is there for them to grow and increase. And so that they can be able to offer advertisers a database in terms of the people who are subscribed into their content, quite something that is quite tangible that we can be able to partner with them and what advertise
as
on
you
their
say that,
platform.
Given my mind because, is thinking Popia, how South Africans feel about their information being shared. And so it's a complex one, but very necessary. And also, it almost seems as though we have a very personal relationship, right, with media houses and media agencies, because you get to know the media partner, you get to know the personalities behind it, and you almost build a personal relationship. And I guess that's one of the aspects that could be a complexity. Ray, I'm hoping I can come to you just to get you to close it off and share your perspective on sustainable models going forward.
Yeah, at the end of the day, is reminding the public, individuals and business that the media industry finds itself in a crisis. And it takes money, by the way, and time to produce original content. We are seeing that a lot of companies are opting to spend money on Facebook, Twitter or X, depending on what you call it. And the reality is Facebook and Twitter often would take content produced by media houses without even crediting the original source. Mm. There is a market inquiry at the moment by the Competition Commission looking at the impact of the social media platforms on the business model of a traditional media house. So for me, it's really heartening that we are having this conversation and, you know, bringing the awareness to the public about the role of media in society and why thriving media is important.
100%. You both have very valid points, because on one end, you need to keep the content coming, but the content also comes at a price, because it's a cost in terms of labor, of artwork, of craft. And of course, those numbers with the audience then need to be shared with the client. And getting the ecosystem to work is an intriguing one. But I'm truly grateful to the both of you for sharing your time and your feedback on this one. This is just the beginning of many, many conversations. So Ray Mahlaka, business journalist at Daily Maverick, and Groven Nchabeleng, chairperson of the Black Agencies Network Association. Thank you both so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Google.
Thank you.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.